Chapter 12. My wedding day had finally arrived, and I was more nervous than the time I had faced down Tanocloyd and the Rusano's vampire assassin at the same time. Channel, her mother, and the wedding planner had taken care of all of the arrangements, but despite every effort on our part, the small ceremony had become the social event of the season.
"Are you ready?"
Nora asked as she walked into the groom's room. She had donned her male disguise again as a precaution, just in case Mr. K or any of the Corlems showed up, and since we hadn't told my parents that she was actually a woman. Her bridesmaid's dress had been turned into a dark green suit that shimmered gold when she moved. She had a silk rose pinned against her lapel, and her short, curly black hair had a string of seed pearls on gold thread woven into them and draped around her head like a crown. I stared at my reflection in the oval mirror that hung on the wall in front of me, then took a deep breath. I liked the double-breasted black suit, and it looked good, but I felt stiff and out of place with the gold embroidery and buttons. I would rather have on my leather jacket with all of its pockets, though I had stuffed my bag of soul gems into my right pant pocket, and Ferrix's amethyst was tucked into my shirt. "I'm as ready as I can be," I said, as I tugged on the high neck of my shirt. "Ugh, I feel like I'm being suffocated."
"You'll forget all about it when you see Janna,"
Nora grinned.
"She looks breathtaking."
"She was gorgeous in the fitting," I said.
"But today, she's even more radiant,"
my gin girlfriend said with a wink. "Then we should get going," I replied before I took a deep breath. I yanked open the door and stepped into the carpeted hallway. The domed ceiling arched high above us, and the end of the hall had a stained glass window that depicted the goddess Kalinda. My heart pounded in my chest as Nora came out behind me, and my palms were sweaty. It was like I had lead in my pockets as I walked down the hallway toward the main section of the temple. I had seen it when I arrived, but as I rounded the corner, my breath left my lungs, and I just stared in awe at how transformed the temple was from the chaos of setting up the bustle of our wedding guests. The large square room was decorated with pink lotuses and silk roses in tall vases, and there were chains of the flowers draped from the ceilings. The room seemed larger than life with the domed ceiling that arched into the sky, and even the rows of wooden chairs filled with guests did not take away from the spacious feel. All of the statues of the goddess Kalinda held their own bouquets of flowers like they were part of the wedding party. The stone beings had braided gold cords draped across their foreheads, and their carved faces looked peaceful as they looked out over all the gathered guests. I walked out from the side hallway into the front of the room where the elven-born priest stood with a book on a pedestal. My panic only grew as I looked out into the sea of people in fine robes and more jewels than I could ever put souls in. I was able to breathe a little easier when I saw my parents in the front row. Their presence was a calming balm, and as I met their eyes, I felt more steady. Mom and Dad had been dressed by Lady Larande, so they were dressed in clothes they never could have afforded on their own. Mom had a long, red silk dress with lotuses embroidered in gold thread that was the same shade as Lady Larande's, and Dad had a purple suit that matched Lord Larande's purple robes. They had tried to resist the noble Elvenborns over the fanciness of the attire, but they had eventually given in, though my mother had put her foot down when Lady Larande tried to give her an expensive pearl necklace. It had been my father who had actually convinced her, and together they had accepted the generous presents from the Larandes.
"You look so handsome,"
my mom said with tears in her eyes as she stood and came over to me. Then she wiped down my suit jacket and picked at an invisible piece of lint.
"So do you, Nor."
"Thank you."
Nora grinned and bobbed her head toward my mom. The disguised djinn stood close to me, where she could hide from the prying eyes of any onlookers. She had been worried all night that the Corlems might make an appearance and see through her form, but Janel had reassured her that none of the notorious Elvenborn family would come. "Thanks, Mom," I said, then wrapped the older woman in my arms and hugged her tight against me. "I'm so glad you two are here."
"We wouldn't miss it for the world," my dad said, before he tried to clear the lump in his throat. You're all grown up."
The strong man blinked back watery tears before he clamped a beefy hand on my shoulder.
We're just so proud of you,
my mother said.
Come on, honey. Let's go sit down so Zaire can focus.
She looped her arm through my father's, then tugged him back to their seats as Taslin and Ilara came from their own side room. The fox woman's copper hair was pulled up into a delicate upsweep decorated with the same white silk rose with an emerald center that she had worn at the fitting. Her amber eyes were lined with a green shimmer to match the emerald satin of her dress, and her lips were painted red. Her shoulders were draped with a thin golden shawl that barely covered the freckles that dotted her skin, and her dress hung from one shoulder, then reached across her body. She had golden slippers to match the golden ribbon tied around the tip of her fluffy red tail. Ilara's short platinum blonde curls had been left down, but an emerald green hat with a golden ribbon, feathers, and an emerald brooch rested between her ears. She had the same emerald dress and golden shawl that Taslin wore, though it had been fitted to better showcase her more petite frame. Her tail swished behind her as she took her place, and her tiny hands grasped the pink lotus and white silk rose bouquet.
You both look gorgeous, I said, as my gaze swept over them.
Thanks,
Ilara squeaked.
You clean up pretty well, too.
Are you ready to become a husband?
Taslin smirked. Definitely, I said. Though I would be happier if there were fewer guests.
But we'll get to network,
Ilara reminded me with a bright smile.
Do you see how many powerful people are here? It's going to be amazing.
Ilara,
Taz sighed.
He isn't doing this for business.
Of course not. But that doesn't mean I can't meet potential investors. And we all know these weddings are usually just business deals. The Laurens are probably hoping to find him a patron. We all have a role to play in this household.
Please take your seats, the elven-born priest boomed with a pointed glare at us to tell us we needed to stop talking.
Janel's friends from the Bardic Studies Department filed out from a side hallway. Each of them were in dark blue robes with golden notes embroidered into the sleeves. They cantered over to us, stepped onto a raised platform behind the priest, and then they folded their hands in front of them as they waited for everyone to settle. Each of them had the biggest grins on their faces when they looked at me, but they took their poses and watched the front of the room. I followed their gaze to where two massive double doors opened to reveal Janel in her full wedding ensemble. My breath left my body like I was punched in the stomach at the sight of her in her white, lacy dress. Even from across the giant room, I could see the light reflect off the seed pearls set into the middle of the lace lotus flowers that were embroidered all over her magnificent gown.
Wow, I mumbled as my brain stuttered to a stop, and I stared at my veiled bride's slender form.
Music erupted behind me as her bardic friends began to sing her in. The notes wrapped around me, and the love I already felt for my bride grew in my chest. The crystal-clear song seemed to draw Janel toward me, though I couldn't understand the language they sang in, and each step she took was like a dance. By the time she had reached me, the music had sunk deep into my bones, and even as it faded away, the affection it had stirred in me remained.
You may lift her veil,
the priest gently reminded me when I just stood there with my mouth open.
Right,
I responded with a blush at how speechless I had become. I raised my hands, even as they shook, and I lifted the lacy fabric up over her head. I flipped it over her head, careful not to catch the fabric on her intricately braided hair. Then I arranged it so that it draped down her back. I let my fingers run across her cheeks as I pulled my hands back, though my eyes remained locked in her emerald green gaze, and my heart oscillated between excited and nervous.
Janel, you look... gorgeous, I stuttered.
You look very handsome yourself,
she whispered, before she glanced at the frowning priest.
But we're not supposed to be talking.
The man cleared his throat and lifted an eyebrow as he scowled at me. He motioned for Taslin to take Janel's bouquet. Then he waved the bards back to their seats before he took up the book from the podium. He pulled his shoulders back and stared out into the crowd as he began the marriage ceremony.
Today we celebrate the joining of Janel of House Laurent and Zaire, son of the House of Baker, he began, as he balanced the tome in his hands and picked up the vial of liquid.
The couple will recite the words to ignite their heart fires and then sign their marriage contract before all of those gathered today. It is an honor to be part of this elven-born tradition, as the igniting of a heart flame binds two people together for the rest of their lives.
I could hear the disappointment in his voice as he talked about the heart flames, and his eyes rolled over me, while his lips tugged down into a frown. I had the feeling he disapproved of me on the sole basis that I was human, and had no heart flame like the Elvenborns did, though my love for Janel was no less real.
"Please put your hands together,"
the Elvenborn man said as he turned his attention to us instead of the room.
"You will recite after me."
I held my hands out, then smiled as Janel's slender fingers entwined with mine. In an instant, I was calm and ready to take the vows to make her my bride, even if it was in front of a room full of people. I gave my bride a small nod that she returned, and her grin was so bright that it was almost like she was lit by the sun. The entire room was silent, and it was as if the world held its breath and waited for us to confirm our love. Even the echoes in the arched ceiling stilled, so that even the rustle of fabric was hushed.
"This wedding is a sham!"
a familiar voice screeched as the priest uncorked the vial. I knew the voice, so I sighed as I pulled my attention away from the beautiful woman in front of me to look at where the commotion came from. Cad stood in the middle of the aisle in a dark green robe that clashed with his moss-colored eyes. He still sported the mustache and goatee that Valeris had, but the Elvenborn's facial hair was thinner than his deceased best friend. He had one hand on his hips while the other pointed accusingly at me. I really wanted to summon a lightning bolt and kill him where he stood.
"Excuse me, young man," the priest said in an annoyed tone. "There will be no interruptions.
That human killed her fiancé Valeris Corlem so that he could marry her,"
he shouted so that everyone could hear him. Our guests either stared at Cad like he had lost his mind, or they began to whisper to each other. Their eyes showed the doubts they had, and I could see them begin to decide that he was probably right. I felt sweat begin to bead on the back of my neck as I waited for them to decide I was guilty, despite that I knew Taslin and I had left nothing behind for them to link to us. I took a deep, steadying breath, tamped down my panic, and then let the rage flow through me.
"What do you mean by this accusation?"
the priest asked.
"Just what I said,"
Cad responded as he stalked forward.
"That human killed my best friend so that he could steal his fiancée."
"My son would never kill someone,"
my father shouted as he stood to glare at the haughty Elvenborn. The old baker's face was dark red with rage, and his bulky muscles strained against the tight fit of his suit jacket. He looked like he might lunge across the aisle and strangle the young man with his bare hands, but my mother stood and wrapped her arm around his waist to steady him.
"Please,"
Cad sneered.
"Oh, no, he did it! He killed Valeris, then stole his woman!"
"Do you have any proof of this accusation?"
the priest questioned as he narrowed his eyes at the intruder. I couldn't decide if I wanted to punch the noble in the face or burn him alive with his best friend's flames. I took a step forward, but before I could let go, Janel squeezed my hands and brought my attention back to her.
"Are you kidding me?"
Cad huffed.
"He was at a party with her the night before Valeris disappeared, and they got in a fight. Of course a lowly human would go and kill his better before he could win her back.
That is enough!"
Lord Laurent's voice cut through the whispers and Cad's hysterical shouts.
"You know that Valeris was better,"
Cad said before he jabbed a finger at me.
"How can you let him marry her?"
"Our son-in-law is a powerful magician,"
Janel's father said.
"And he is a good man. It is a tragedy that Valeris has gone missing, but life must go on, young man."
"He killed him, and I'll bet that fox bitch helped,"
the blonde Elvenborn snarled, and the crowd gasped at the crude language. I glanced toward Taslin, my jaw tight with barely contained rage, while my blood boiled with the need to defend my gorgeous girlfriend. I could hear Ferrick snarl in the back of my mind, his hackles raised and his teeth bared.
"Cad, please stop,"
Janel said with a sniff. The beautiful elven-born noblewoman had tears in her bright green eyes, and her bottom lip quivered. She glanced at me as she dropped one of my hands, then turned to look at the man who had accused me of a murder I had, in fact, committed. "Janel."
"No,"
she responded with a shake of her head, and her voice was just loud enough to project into the room.
"Zaire, I know you want to protect me, but we can't keep going like this."
"Just trust her,"
Taslin said to me through our psychic link.
"I think she has a plan."
I glanced at the beautiful fox woman, though her eyes were trained on my bride. I sighed, then nodded my head as I looked back to Janel, our fingers intertwined, and squeezed her hand to let her know I would back whatever she planned.
"Janel?"
Lord Lerond asked, as he took a step toward his daughter, and his anger at Cad was replaced with concern.
"Daddy!"
she cried while she reached her free hand out to take her father's.
"I'm sorry I didn't tell you, but he was Valeris's friend, and I didn't want it to be a problem."
She pulled her hand away from her father to dab at her eyes. Then she used the hem of her veil to wipe her makeup-stained fingers. Her shoulders hunched in on themselves as a sob racked through her. So I released her hand to hold her against me, and she turned her face into my shoulder as she continued to cry.
"What did this young man do?"
Lord Lerond growled while he turned his attention from his daughter to the blonde elvenborn.
"I didn't do anything,"
Cad defended with his hands up in front of him.
"It's that human, Zaire, that murdered my best friend and then stole his fiancée."
The elvenborn glanced around him to see that the guests had started to glare at him instead of me. His chest rose and fell faster as he began to panic, and whatever plan he had started to slip out of his fingers. He walked a few feet away from us, then came back as he lifted his chin in the air.
"You can't believe anything he says," the man whined. "He always fought with Valeris, and then as soon as my friend disappeared, he swooped in and stole his fiancée. How did he know that Valeris wouldn't come back? Because he killed him so he could keep Janel all to himself."
"Cad!"
Janel sobbed.
"Please!"
She peeled herself away from me, then took a step forward to address the room. Her back was straight, and her shoulders were pulled back as she prepared to project her voice to the farthest reaches of the temple. She glanced over at her father and gave him a loving smile, then turned toward our guests.
"Cad has always looked to me,"
she started, and there was a lilt to her voice that held some of her bardic powers.
"He was jealous of everything Valeris had, even me. And when his best friend disappeared, he thought that I would immediately go to him and fall into his arms."
"That's not true! I would never do that to Valeris!"
"You were always staring at me during battle practice,"
Janel said as she turned to look at him, her eyes still filled with tears, and a few drops rolled down her cheeks.
"And when I fell in love with Zaire instead of you, you started to stalk him and make these baseless accusations."
I walked up to her when she paused and wrapped my arms around her. Then I kissed away one of the tears and snuggled into her neck.
"Please,"
she whimpered as she twisted in my arms.
"Please, why can't you just leave us alone?"
"Because he killed my best friend! I'm not going to let him get away with it!"
"That's enough," I said as I stepped in front of Janel. "You need to leave. You're hysterical and upsetting my wife. I'm really sorry that you lost your best friend, but you need to stop accusing me of killing him and leave us alone. Forever."
"He's right, young man," Lord Lerond said.
The noble elvenborn came to stand in front of me and his daughter. Then he lifted his hand to call forward a guard from the back of the room. He narrowed his eyes at the young, blonde elvenborn.
"My daughter has made her choice," Janel's father said. "You need to respect that. I am deeply grieved for the loss of Valeris, but we must all move on."
"I'm going to prove that you killed him,"
Cad warned, when a muscular elvenborn with short hair and a square jaw grabbed him and began to pull him backwards.
"I won't let you get away with this!"
I watched him go with satisfaction, and then turned my attention to the gorgeous elvenborn in my arms. I was impressed with how quick she had thought of a distraction, and how well she had acted as she cried despite the knowledge that I actually had killed Valeris, albeit in self-defense. All I had to do was follow her lead, though I still wanted to punch Cad in the face.
"Now that that is done,"
the elven-born priest said from where he had remained at the front of the room. "Are you okay?" I asked my soon-to-be wife, as I lifted her chin so she could look into my eyes.
"Yes."
She sniffled, then looked down like she was embarrassed.
My makeup is all ruined.
"No, you're breathtaking," I reassured her, while I took her hand to bring her back up to the priest. Lord Laurent and my father exchanged looks, then sat back down in their seats, but not before Lord Laurent swept a look at all of the guests as if to apologize for the debacle.
"As I was saying," the elven-born priest huffed, "we will ignite the heart flames of these two young people, then sign their marriage sheepskin."
I took my place and held Janel's hands in mine as the priest poured the vial of liquid over our hands and chanted a spell from the large ceremonial book. I watched as purple and pink magic wrapped around both of us, then flowed into our chests where our hearts were hidden.
"Now to sign the sheepskin,"
the priest said, as his first smile spread across his lips. He flipped through the book, then stopped when he came to the sheepskin marriage contract and a feather pen. With a flourish, he handed me the pen, then pointed to where my name was scrawled. Then he took it from me and handed it to Janel after I had signed.
"It is done," he said with authority as he snapped the book shut. "I now pronounce you married."
"Does that mean that I get to kiss you now?" I whispered to Janel with a smirk.
"I thought you'd never ask,"
my new bride laughed. She dropped my hands, then stepped into my waiting arms, slid her slender hands up my chest and around the back of my neck. Then she pressed her lips to mine. She bit my bottom lip before she pulled away, and her bright green eyes shone with a joy I felt reflected in myself. Cheers erupted as I slipped my hand into hers, then spun her out to all of our guests. The sound reverberated back from the stone walls and seemed louder the longer they went on.
"Let us retire to the reception,"
Lady Laurent said once the applause had dimmed. In almost one fluid movement, the men and women who had come to celebrate us stood and headed toward the attached garden. It was like watching birds fly with their fluttering, colorful robes that flowed with each sweep of their arms.
"We are married,"
Janel whispered in my ear before she gave me a kiss on the cheek. "We are," I grinned. "You are amazing." I glanced to both sets of parents as they waved and followed the crowd out to whatever Lady Laurent had planned for our reception. I didn't want to say too much with so many ears around, but I wanted her to understand how much I appreciated her quick thinking.
"I know,"
she winked.
"I'm starving. Let's go get some of the Francian food my mother managed to get for us." "Should I fix your makeup first?"
Nora asked as she moved to stand beside us.
"Oh, yes, please,"
Janel said with a bright smile.
"Those tears just ruined all of my hard work."
The disguised djinn glanced around to make sure that everyone was gone and nodded once the priest disappeared through a side door. She snapped her fingers, and Janel's tear-stained face was cleaned, and her makeup was once again perfect. "I appreciate your sacrifice," I said, then kissed my new wife.
"It wasn't that hard,"
she huffed.
"Really, I can't believe Cad would try to ruin my wedding. If it wouldn't have ruined the whole day, I would have let you punch him in the face."
"You performed admirably,"
Taz purred as she came up to give my wife a kiss on the cheek. "I'm not sure I would have stopped at just punching him," I said, as I slipped my hand into hers. "And now all of the noble families think he's crazy with grief and his love for you."
"Hopefully that'll make him leave you alone,"
Ilara squeaked.
"Now, let's go mingle. There's business to be done with all the rich folk here."
I laughed, then followed the cute mouse girl out of the temple with my wife on my arm, and Taslin and Nora coming in behind us. The garden was breathtaking, with dirt paths that were strewn with silky rose petals, and hedges that steadily became taller until they formed the walls of a maze where couples could get lost. There were pink lotus flowers floating in shallow ponds that were surrounded by wooden benches and lit by strings of lights. Some of our guests lingered around the benches and talked, but most of them had congregated around the banquet table. Their golden plates were piled high with Francian chocolate-filled puffs, chicken drenched in buttery sauces, and brightly colored steamed vegetables. Somewhere in the garden there were string instruments that played music. The gentle notes drifted around us, and it created a soft feel to calm the hundreds of people that milled about.
"I'm going to mingle and make some contacts,"
Ilara said before she rushed off.
Dazlin, would you come walk with me?
Nora asked as she glanced around.
Of course,
the sexy fox woman said.
Anything to get away from all these people. Well, they abandoned us faster than I thought.
Janel teased. They did, I said with a smile. But we'll see each other later. For now, I need to feed my wife.
Yes, you do,
she agreed. She tugged me toward the banquet table, and the crowd parted to let us through, though a few people still waved and said hello. She gave them all kind smiles and thanked them for their attendance, but she didn't stop until we stood in front of a tower of ice in the shape of the goddess Kalinda. What would you like to start with? I whispered in her ear.
Everything,
she said.
I definitely want to try the duck and the garlic butter sauce. Oh, and the chocolate. It's all made by a Francian chef and will melt in your mouth.
Congratulations,
a man with a large mustache said as he approached our table.
You have a fine bride, and I saw the two of you together in the tournament. You were a force to be reckoned with.
Thank you, I said, as I talked to the man and let my bride pile her golden dish high with all of her favorite treats. I would not be as successful without her by my side.
Ha! The perfect answer!
The man laughed as he clapped me on the back.
My name is Lord Brinson. If you ever want to lead an army, you get in touch with me.
Yes, sir, I said. I appreciate the offer.
Oh!
Janel exclaimed as she reached for a small pastry filled with a strawberry sauce and collided hands with my father.
Mr. Baker, please go ahead.
No, my father chuckled. The bride must always have first choice.
Thank you so much,
she said, as a blush crawled over her tan cheeks. Dad, I said, how are you liking the food?
These pastries and breads are some of the best I've ever had, he responded. Your mother and I are trying to decipher the recipes.
Of course, I laughed as I shook my head. I'm sure I could get you a recipe book if you would like.
I think the chef is still here,
Janel interjected after she swallowed the last of the strawberry pastry.
Really?
My father asked as his eyes lit up.
Oh, no. You shouldn't be running around finding a chef for your father-in-law, dear. My wife and I are making a game out of it anyways.
Okay,
the gorgeous elven-born woman next to me said.
Maybe before you leave, we can set up a meeting.
No rush,
my father said. He nodded to both of us and rushed over to my mother with a plate piled high with the expensive delicacies. His face was bright with excitement as he plopped down next to his wife and started to talk about the chef they would get to meet.
Your parents are so sweet,
Janel said.
I hope we're like that when we've been married for that long.
We will be even happier than them, I promised.
Oh, really?
She asked with a lifted eyebrow. Of course, I said, and then leaned down to put a kiss on her forehead.
When can we leave?
She muttered while she stifled a yawn.
All that crying has worn me out.
I hope not too much, I whispered in her ear.
Oh, I'm sure I can stay up for a little while longer.
She grinned at me. Then I will go get the rest of the girls while you eat, I said, as I led her over to an empty bench. I'll be back soon.
I won't move,
Janel said as she relaxed and took a bite of the duck. Taslin, I called through my psychic bond to the gorgeous fox woman.
Yes?
She responded.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. I grinned as I felt a twinge of apprehension. But we're going to leave soon.
Okay, we'll be back soon,
the sexy redhead said. Now all I had to do was find Ilara and drag her away from whatever business connection she was in the middle of making, and then the best part of the wedding could begin, the prima noctis.